everything I'd built and everything I'd worked on all of a sudden looked like it was hanging in the balance. You know, what can make you overnight very popular, the internet can also take it away.
Welcome to Communicating Purpose. I'm John Higginson, founder of purpose-led communications agency, Higginson Strategy. Today, I'm joined by Emma Kay, the founder and director of WalkSafe. Founded in 2020, WalkSafe is a personal safety app that helps people plan safer journeys home and avoid being the target of crime. Before launching WalkSafe, Emma worked in childcare and spent 3 years volunteering at a community centre for people in crisis. The daughter of a Met police officer, Emma has spoken out about her experiences of sexual harassment since a young age. Emma, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Tell me a bit more about your journey to where you are today.
Thank you for having me. I've been loving your podcast. I'm thrilled to be on. A little bit about my journey. I think that being a woman, I can, you know, speak for many of the women that I've met throughout my journey, even my friends and family, that we've all kind of experienced many things. So I think my lived experience has really shaped the journey of WalkSafe. And I think it really was the catalyst for change to create something that at the time was not done before. And we were around before the high profile case that kind of rocked the nation. And yeah, it's been quite a journey ever since that day, really, onwards. I feel like I always tell people when I talk about WalkSafe, WalkSafe has its own journey. I'm just going along for the ride. So it's always been very busy, very fast paced. And I think being an app, we're very agile. So I suppose the journey is always taking twists and turns. And I think it's just us always kind of evolving and adapting to what our users want and need.
In 2021, 33-year-old marketing executive Sarah Everard was kidnapped, raped and killed by a Metropolitan Police officer as she walked home in Clapham, South London. The horrific incident caused an outpouring of national grief and huge questions in this country around women's safety and their right to feel safe. How did this incident impact WalkSafe's visibility and public perception?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so because we were around before that case, I think that really built on the trust factor for our users. And actually, when the case came to light, we had mass downloads. There was a real strong call to action. And I think a lot of women didn't have trust in the police at the time, because that officer that you were referencing, David Carrick, David Carrick was another case recently. There was a huge call to action. And because I think, as you mentioned, that young people, especially marginalised people and women, were not feeling that trust within the police forces around them, they all kind of turned to other safety measures. And we were around. And over the course of that week, we had 500,000 downloads. Actually, it was 500,000 downloads in 10 days. We suddenly went viral and we were everywhere. And I think that call to action is always very strong. We see it now in my database. When I see something in the news around a girl who's been killed at the hands of a man, typically our users are probably more active on the app, and we have a lot of new users. So I think that, you know, around certain times, so seasonally, when the weather changes, it's darker out, the clocks go back, we have spikes then. We have spikes around festival time, and I'd say when we have those high profile cases. So I think that trust we already had, being an app that was free, and we made that, you know, very conscious decision at the beginning of our journey that we didn't ever want, you know, money to be a barrier to not feeling safe, because I know how that feels. And I think, you know, you can't put a price on personal safety, and it felt wrong. And we didn't ever want anyone to, you know, not access this technology. So we created other revenue generating products to sustain the app so people can use it for free.
You have personal reasons for creating this tool, I believe. Tell us about what led you to create the program.
So I'd say my lived experiences definitely drove the desire to create the app. I think that having those experiences of being sexually harassed, being followed, being catcalled, you know, I definitely, those sorts of experiences shape how you feel, they shape how you interact with the world. And it wasn't until the birth of my daughter that I really realized just how I didn't want her to grow up in a world where we just normalized this behavior and internalized it. And it was a family born passion project that kind of, I started it with my brother-in-law. He was very techie. His friend Mason, who's still a developer at WalkSafe, helped us create it. I loved the sort of marketing side, and I think that was really within my skill set. But yeah, it was created with his sort of techie background and my kind of lived experience and what I kind of wanted out of this app and what would have, I believe, would have helped me to stay safer if I would have had that technology when I was younger and when I was trying to navigate the world, really.
I'm sure listeners will want to know where these experiences are. We're talking about London, is that right?
Yeah, I'm London based, and I think I've always been kind of Surrey, Kingston, that sort of side. So it's always been very busy. And I think when I reflect on my journey to and from school when I was a young girl, probably that was where the bulk of the instances started, because I used to have to walk through a cut through via green belt, and there were minimal lights. It was round kind of a bend in the road, so you could never see what was coming towards you. And now there's a bus route, but that wasn't available to me when I was younger. So the rule of thumb would always be traveling groups to school there and back. But just being able to, I think, share my journey or have an SOS button with my mum or my dad could have made a huge difference. Or just even being able to input that community data, and that's something that we actually also offer, is crime reporting and the ability for users to be able to input whether or not they feel unsafe or an incident's occurred in an exact area, provide the time and date and do it anonymously. But all of that information is, you know, it was lost. And I think back then, especially, so much of the things I experienced, like indecent exposure, typically perpetrators go on to do worse things. They're kind of escalation crimes. So I think if we had the ability back then to have an app that took the pressure and the worry away of having to go to a police station, I believe it could have been very different growing up.
So you've had more than 570,000 downloads of WalkSafe. What have you found the most effective form of communications for you?
So I think we're on track for nearly a million now, which is awesome. But I suppose my biggest metric is always how many people are active within the app. But yes, it's been a journey. And I would say that our most effective form of communication is news and social media. I would say communicating our purpose and my experiences and being able to share why it's been created, the need for it, has always been a really important piece for WalkSafe. And after the high profile case that we mentioned, I actually did a huge media round. And that was where we were on GB News, Sky News, BBC. I did a lot of radio. I would say I really enjoy talking through the sort of complex problems that I think we see in society and how I feel that our solution can, it isn't a full solution by any means, but it definitely is part of a safety toolkit for many people. And I would say, you know, I think my skill set lends itself to spoken word. And I think that interviews and podcasts like we're doing now are really my skill set. And I think there's always so much happening in the news, and I think it's always quite depressing. I know it's within the Labour manifesto, it's something that the Met are always talking about. Violence against women and girls is always a hot subject, and it's always on people's agendas. So I think that we can really communicate why it is relevant to so many people, whether that's, you know, your loved ones or even within your business. And I think the news gives us that credibility as a startup. I think it gives us that platform to drive new users and hopefully to really convey the authenticity piece, which is, I am that person, I do know how it feels. And, you know, we're a female founded startup. And I think that's really vital, because I look at the sort of personal safety app landscape, there's a lot of men in this sphere. And I think it's really vital that I can convey my lived experience, because then people can relate to it.
Yeah. How can other businesses contribute to creating safer communities, do you think?
Good question. I think that it's something that I'm talking about a lot, and I think it varies from sort of business to business. I typically have worked within sort of councils, business improvement districts, and independent businesses, where I suppose they definitely understand how they can be a safe space for consumers, whether that's undergoing safety training or offering safety facilities. I feel like that's quite a developed package. But I think when looking at it internally for kind of your own staff, it's something that some companies are very willing to dive into, and I feel have a good sense of what could be needed. And I feel that others are so far away from that conversation, and it can be quite polarizing. And I think there's a whole piece around they don't know what they don't know. So I think quite a lot of people don't always articulate if that walk to work is a bit of a shady walk and they feel unsafe. So I can appreciate you don't know what you don't know, but I think what we are trying to work on now is a women's safety review as part of our kind of walk safe package. So we've got multiple different products that can facilitate and help to keep people at work safer. And part of that is a platform which links to a third party security company. So if, you know, you're walking alone on your route home from work and you feel unsafe, you can hit the SOS button and it will alert a security company who can support you in real time. So that is a solution that a company could do. But I think what we typically within society tend to do around the VORG space is we jump to solutions. And I think it's about really understanding what the need is first and not hypothesizing what that need is. So our Women's Safety Review is more of a chance for businesses to engage with their employees, whether that's an anonymous survey where we can ask some questions, perhaps do a data report and then provide suggestions. And I think that can really get the ball rolling and will enable businesses to kind of ask around those hard questions, but do it in an ethical way, a way that takes the pressure and the onus off of them. We are independent and trained, trauma-informed experts really in this space, and can really support people when asking those questions, because they're actually just quite sensitive questions and not everyone wants to share. So it's about thinking about the offerings in a very sensitive way. But yes, I feel like as a society, some can be very engaged and some can be not at all. So it's quite a mix.
You talked about that day in which you did lots of media. Tell us about a marketing strategy that you've used that you've felt as a real success.
So it'd probably be our Budweiser Brewing Group and the Lionesses campaign we did last year to get every Bud home safely. Budweiser did some research around women's safety and how that impacts them from accessing events like going to the pub and watching the football. I think there's 57% of women are more likely to head to the matches, to watch those matches at the football, than they ever were before. And I think it's, you know, really awesome. I think that it really drove so many of us to kind of go and cheer them on. But I think with that, 59% of us then worried about large crowds and how we would then get home. And what we did with Budweiser is we did a huge campaign to help get every Bud home safely. And it was fabulous. It was Beth Mead holding up the app, sharing that, you know, it's free and it can really support you. And you don't have to miss out on those wonderful experiences, because our safety does impact us. And 81% of women who go to pubs, clubs and bars do feel unsafe, and we do worry about our safety when we get home. So the data around that is quite shocking. And I think that campaign felt so exciting. It got the message over very clearly. Wise are long-standing partners of ours, and the campaign just was something we'd not even thought about. I can't even say that we were really kind of carving out a niche within women's sport and getting women home safely from sporting events, but actually once the campaign went live, we realized that it is something we're very passionate about, it is something we'd like to do more of. And I have got other partners that I've worked with now to get their consumers home from sporting events like horse racing or Ladies' Day. So I think that now that campaign's been a bit of a turning point for us and showed to us that it's an area we should definitely be in.
Is there a time in which you've tried to communicate and it really hasn't landed how you thought?
We had an incident, I would say, at the start of our journey, and it actually wasn't through our fault, but I think what we didn't do was we didn't go with my gut instinct about how we should have followed up about it. And I think that led us, the whole incident snowballed. So basically, at the start of our journey, and we had these mass downloads and we went viral on TikTok, and Demi Lovato had reposted about us, and we all of a sudden found ourselves with so much content being made about us, and it was fabulous. It was, you know, real UGC content, everyone loving it. And we had one minor who was in America, and she got our app confused with another app, and she was just looking out for her fellow social media users, and she put out a video saying that we were doing things that we weren't. And at the time, I took it to the PR company that I was working with, and I said, look, I'm really concerned about this. I think I should come forward, and I think I should do a video, and I think I should get on top of this.
What did she say, so that our listeners can know, what did she say that you were doing?
So she said that we were tracking users' addresses, and it was so crazy, and it was a human trafficking story that she kind of had concocted, and it was so crazy and ludicrous. And the content then was kind of shifting from being really positive, this app is, you know, doing so much good, and then it shifted into people thinking that they could do a TikTok about us and it would get a lot of likes, and then the sort of conversation around us had changed, and it was becoming something that was so unfathomable. And then the messages I was kind of fielding were horrendous. I was being, the company was being called the most, and they were young children, but being called human traffickers. And they were saying that we were doing these crazy, and they were just children. And it got really out of hand. But at the time I was pregnant with my second and I had a toddler, and everything I'd built and everything I'd worked on, all of a sudden, like, it was hanging in the balance. And so I went to the PR company and I said, oh, I really think I need to get in front of this. I think, you know, people need to see who I am, what I'm about. It's free. We don't do anything like that. Obviously, it's complete nonsense. And at the time, the company we were working with said, no, I don't think you should do that. So I got overridden. And in my gut, that was 9 a.m. on like a Monday. And by 9 p.m., it had taken hold on the internet. So for me, I learned a huge lesson that day that I should always follow my instincts. That has never led me astray throughout my whole walk safe journey. I should have got on top of it. I should have done what I thought was best. And then I hired a PR crisis team, and we got on top of it. And that's where probably my desire as well. I've always done a lot of media. I think the first ever interview I did was with Euronews to millions of people around the app, but it then really pushed me forward to do a lot more in the media, because I really felt then I needed to prove who I was and what I was about. And like I said, I don't hold any resentment. They were young kids and it just spiraled. But that, you know, what can make you overnight very popular, the internet can also take it away. And I think it was a real kind of lesson in what we didn't do. We didn't, you know, we didn't act act soon enough. And I think it's really important for me to show who I am and what I'm about.
What message would you give to your younger self?
I think it would definitely be, as we just touched on the other question, to listen to your gut. And I had a huge imposter syndrome complex when I started this. I've always been entrepreneurial and I've always worked for myself, but I all of a sudden found myself being thrust into so many new situations, you know, pitching to angel investors, talking about product, going and speaking at huge corporate events. And all of a sudden, I felt really out of my depth. And it's taken 4 years and a lot of hard work. But I think if I'd have realized what I was capable of and didn't beat myself up so much and just believed in myself more, I think I could have spared myself 4 years of that feeling. So I think I just tell myself that you've got it and the rest will follow.
Emma Kay, founder and director of WalkSafe, you've been speaking to me, John Higginson, on Communicating Purpose, produced this week by Catherine Kitchen. If you'd like to know more about how Higginson Strategy supports purpose-led organisations, visit higginsonstrategy.com.